Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
I'll be speaking to you out of the Gospel of John this morning. Here our Lord said in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to talk to you about heart trouble. You know, I was reading an article this past week that declared that heart disease and cancer have claimed the number one and the number two spot as the leading causes of death in America. Number one, heart disease. Number two, cancer. Now, I know all of us personally know someone affected by these two diseases. Many of God's people, even now, are struggling under their crippling effects. Together, heart trouble and cancer are responsible for 46% of the deaths in the United States. I had no idea that it was that high. You know, I lost my father to cancer, and I did lose my mother to heart disease. So I shouldn't be surprised. Yet considering those staggering statistics of 46%, I am once again reminded that all of us, spiritually speaking, have these killing diseases. Spiritually speaking, every one of us has heart trouble. All of us have the malignant disease of sin. 100% is the statistic on that. And unless we find a remedy, unless we find a cure, we will most certainly die. Now, this is serious, serious business. I'm not on this radio program to try to promote myself or to promote our church. I'm on this radio program to try to tell you the truth about what God says in the Scripture, in the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, then I won't have much comfort for you this morning. But if you believe the Word of God, and if you'll listen to what God's saying in His Word, I think you'll be encouraged. I think you'll see some truths. How serious is our condition? That's the issue. Well, it's worse than a pandemic. It's worse because all of us have it, and all of us are going to die from it unless we find a cure. And what makes this heart trouble so serious, what makes this leprosy of sin so critical, is that it was committed against the very one and the only one that can cure us. God gave Adam one commandment. Now, I'm going to break it down simple for you. God gave man one commandment. Adam and Eve had one law to keep. Everything was provided for them. There was no work for them to do. It was paradise with everything they needed provided. But man failed, and man fell, and man died spiritually. That's what God said. Why did man die? Because man disobeyed God. Because God cursed man for his sin. Paul said in Romans 5, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That means every one of us. Now, that doesn't mean we were born basically good, and we begin to, you know, disobey here and there, and then became sinners. No, that means we were born in sin, conceived in sin, came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies, hearts deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. That's what the Bible says. That every imagination of man's heart, God destroyed this world because every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. Not only evil, Not only evil only, but evil only continually. Now that tells you something about us. That offends some folks, but that's what God said about us. Man died because man disobeyed God. God gave man one commandment and he couldn't keep it. All men and women got heart trouble. Boys and girls, heart trouble. The malignancy of sin. How do we keep from dying? Well, since death comes by sin, and sin is passed upon all men and women, boys and girls alike, for all of us have sinned, then we're going to have to find a cure. Now listen to me. God is holy. Now I know everybody today talks about the love of God. Thank God for His love. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. But first and foremost, God is holy. And that's a subject we don't hear much about anymore. We hear a great deal about God's love and His goodness and His grace and His forgiveness, but we don't hear much about God's holiness. You better listen to me. A sinner will never appreciate God's love, goodness, mercy, grace, or forgiveness if they never see God's holiness and what it took to appease this holy God. Now, God is so holy that He cannot look upon a sinner and that sinner live. That's what the Word of God says. That's what God told Moses. He said, "Thou canst not see My face, for there shall no man see Me and live. My face shall not be seen." You can read it, Exodus chapter 33. God is so holy that He can by no means, under no circumstances, for no reason, clear the guilty. Exodus 34:7. Sin must be punished. You see, God's justice demands it. God is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Joshua 24:19. Sin cannot be forgiven. It's got to be paid for. How do I know? Because the wages of sin is death. How do I know? The soul that sins shall die. The wages must be paid for God to remain holy. And God always pays His bills. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Isaiah 59:2. We're in a mess. God is holy, and the only way you can be cured is to find one who can keep God's holy law and satisfy God's holy justice in your room and in your stead. And you might claim to be a good person, a moral person, and I have no doubt that you aren't. But God requires perfection. God requires holiness. And you and I cannot provide what God requires. That's our dilemma. Because secondly, man is an ungodly sinner. That's right. I've already told you. God said that every imagination of the thoughts of our hearts are only evil continually. And some may think, "Well, I have good thoughts. All my thoughts are not evil." Well, compared to God's thoughts, they are. Some will say, "Well, I have some wicked thoughts, but my evil thoughts are not all the time. Sometimes I think on good things. My thoughts are not evil all the time." According to God, they are. Well, I disagree with you, preacher. Well, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with God. That's what God said in His Word. I'm as guilty of these things as you are. God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart, only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. A preacher, I know there's some bad people in the world, and I know that I'm not perfect, but there's no way I can be that bad. Oh, yes, you have heart trouble, just like I do. We have the cancer of sin. We're in bad shape. Sin is a malignant growth, worse than cancer. It spreads through the whole body and soul of a natural man and woman. Sin is what makes our hearts deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, so wicked that only God can know our hearts. We can't know them. We're blind, deaf, and spiritually dead. That word deceitful means fraudulent and crooked. By nature, our hearts are fraudulent and crooked. But not only that, we're fraudulent and crooked above all things. Our hearts are wicked, but not only wicked, desperately wicked. The Hebrew word for desperately there means critically, seriously, gravely wicked. So seriously and critically and gravely wicked that we're going to die from this wickedness. Now, I want you to hear a graphic picture of your sin. And again, this is what God says. It's what He says about you. It's what He says about me. It's what He says about our precious little children and our precious little grandchildren and our loving, sweet grandmother. It applies to the prostitute. It applies to the preacher. It applies to the politician, and it applies to the priest. That's right. It applies to every man and woman born of woman. How does a God, holy God, see you and I? From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. God compares us to oozing, unmollified, putrefying, oh, repulsive sores that haven't been bound or bandaged. Oh, God is holy and man is sinful and ungodly. And the third thing, the real issue is, how can a man be justified with God? How can this wretched, putrefying sore of men and women, cancerous, be reconciled and brought back into fellowship, justified with God? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can we be justified and declared righteous, made in right standing with God? How can things be made right between God and man? How can a man be restored back into fellowship with God? You answer that question and you preach the gospel. John chapter 14, verse 1 again, let not your heart be troubled. Boy, you're in a terrible shape, but there's hope for you. How do we rid ourselves of heart trouble? How do we get rid of this cancerous malignancy of sin? We have the answer right here. You believe in God, believe also in me. The remedy is Jesus Christ. Now, some would tell you that the remedy is faith, that faith is what makes the difference. Well, you're saved by grace through faith, but that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The remedy is not believing there is a Christ. The remedy is not even believing in Christ. The remedy is believing Jesus Christ, believing what He says about Himself. He's God. It took God to die for your sin. It's believing what God says about you. You're a wretched, ungodly sinner that deserves nothing but hell. Salvation is believing in Christ, who He is, and what He's done. Most everybody today says they believe in God, or they believe in a higher power or a supreme being. But what our Lord is saying here is, you believe in God, you claim you do, you say you do. If you do, then you better believe in me. To believe in the God of the Bible, to truly believe that God is who He claims Himself to be, then you must believe that Jesus Christ is also God, and God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He who was with God in the beginning, the Word of God. In the beginning, He was with God, and He became flesh and dwelt among us. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is that God, then you don't believe God. You've got to believe that he came and perfectly kept God's law, that law you could not keep. God requires the keeping of his law to be perfect by us. We can't do that. Christ did it for us. Jesus Christ fully satisfied God's holy justice. Jesus Christ is God's mediator, intercessor, savior, sacrifice, and surety. Jesus Christ was made to be sin for his people, that they might be made the very righteousness of God in him. They believed that he was punished for every sin ever committed by the elect, past, present, or future. They believe that God's law is now fulfilled and God's justice is appeased and God sees you as holy and righteous and just and that you have no sin. That's what a believer believes. That's what it is to believe also in Christ. Oh, everybody believes in God, but few believe that Jesus Christ is God. Not many believe that they're so corrupt with sin. Not many believe that their heart is in such a troubled state, and not many believe that their malignancy of sin has damaged them so recklessly from the inside out that God himself had to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. You can believe everything this old world is telling you, or you can believe God. Some do. Some do. Back in chapter 13, verse 1, we're told that our Lord Jesus knew that his hour had come. What hour? The hour that he would depart out of this world unto the Father. The time had come for the pain of sin's wages. That's what's going on. That's why John tells us, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Our Lord's last act on earth was an act of love, mercy, and grace. He hung on Calvary's tree to put away all the sin of all God's elect throughout time. And if you want to see something of man's heart, in verse 2 we're told that supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. The Lord had said in John chapter 6, "Have I not chosen you, and one of you's a devil?" We need to remember that none of us are excluded from the heart condition and the inward corruption. One of the Lord's chosen disciples is himself a devil whose wicked heart is so easily accessible to his master, Satan. Oh, I'm telling you, we ain't what we think we are. People brag on us, we some spiritual giants. Oh, we're no match for Satan. Thank God he's no match for God. In verse 21, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray him, and each one of them looked at one another, doubting of whom he spoke. And John said, "Lord, is it I?" It seems that every one of them knew that they were capable of betraying the Lord. Well, let me let you in on something. We are. And the Lord said, "Yet a little while I'm with you, and where I'm going you cannot come." And in verse 36, Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And the Lord said, "Well, you can't follow me now, but you shall afterwards." And Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake." Oh, I'm telling you, men make presumptuous statements as Peter did, but the Lord was quick to respond and say, "Will you lay down your life for me? Will you lay down your life for my sake, Peter?" In Matthew chapter 26, the Lord told all the disciples that they'd be offended. And Peter said, "I'll never be offended." And Peter, he was the first one that was offended. "The rooster shall not crow until you've denied me three times." And Peter's heart was troubled. I'm not saying that Peter's heart wasn't troubled by the claims of Christ that he would deny him. But I also believe that Peter's heart was troubled greatly because he didn't believe that he would deny the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, we've got some troubled hearts. When you hear from the Lord through his word who you are and what he is, oh, I hope that you're troubled. But God's got to give you ears to hear. Does your sin trouble you? That's a good sign. Gospel. I have gospel news for troubled hearts. There should be no chapter division between 13 and 14 here in John. The Savior of sinners says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And I just love how the Lord here begins to comfort his troubled soul disciples with the promise of eternal life, with the promise of heaven, with the promise of forever being face to face with them as their Savior. In verse 2, Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That word mansions means dwelling places. He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." If by God's grace a sinner makes it to heaven, I'm telling you, there'll be no visitor there. They're going to dwell there in a dwelling place that Christ prepared for them. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Oh, that's what makes grace amazing. You and I have no right to heaven. We have no claim upon heaven's glory. We've ruined our world. We've fallen from a heavenly nature. If you and I are received into heaven, the Lord must prepare us for heaven and prepare heaven for us, because we don't belong there and we don't own anything there. I heard a man say not long ago, "Heaven's my home." Well, it may be, but it's not because you and I bought a mansion on a golden street in heaven. It's not because we did something that appeased God that got us a little bigger mansion on a little higher hill with a little more gold in the streets. Occupancy has nothing to do with our works or our deeds. The only trophy there will be in heaven is Christ. And he is our forerunner, has staked a claim for us, and he's guaranteeing us a place in God's heaven. He went to Jerusalem and he stood trial in our place. He went to the cross and he died in his people's stead. He went to the tomb as their scapegoat. He ascended on high and appeared in God's presence for them. And it's he who goes and prepares a dwelling place for them. You've sinned against God. You and I are not worthy to be called his sons and daughters. We don't have any claim on heaven. We have no right there and no home there. Is that troubling to your troubled heart? Then let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you can trust in God's Son. He'll go and prepare a place for you. And to do that, he had to take care of your sin before God. Now you can come boldly into the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Preparing a place for you ain't just preparing a mansion on a golden street, I'll tell you that. God the Son had to shed his blood in order for you and I to have a dwelling place. And he's going to come again and receive the believer, the one that trusts in him. And where he is, that's where they'll be also. Jesus Christ is the remedy for our heart trouble. He's the cure for our malignancy of sin. He's the only remedy we have. The Father gave his Son a people, and Christ made them his own before the foundation of the world. You and I didn't have anything to do with it. We weren't even born. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And before you and I were born, before you and I had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of the sinner, but of God that shows mercy. Oh, Christ became responsible for some sheep. He came into this world and purchased them a right to glory. He prayed and said, "Father, I will that those thou hast given me be with me where I am, and not a one of them be lost. And all that the Father gave to Christ will come to him, and all who come to him he will in no wise cast out." He came down from heaven to do his Father's will. What was it? that all that the Father gave him, he would lose nothing, not a single one. And this is the will of God who sent him. When Adam sinned and disobeyed God, he lost the truth and he lost the life and he lost the way to God. He became deaf and dumb and blind. He developed serious heart trouble. The malignancy of sin spread through his body, and he died spiritually as God had promised. That's what's happened to every single one of us. So what comfort can I give you this morning? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Oh, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. It's God who has redeemed you. If you're ever to be saved, it won't be anything that you've done. Jesus Christ, God the Son, has made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's the only cure for sin. He's the remedy. Believe in Him and rest. Oh, by the disobedience of Adam, I was made sin, but by the obedience of Christ, I'm made righteous. Oh, let not your heart be troubled. Christ has prepared a place of acceptance, a place of righteousness, a place of holiness, a place of glory, a place of eternal rest in the presence of God. How did He accomplish it? By His obedience, by His faith, His work of righteousness, by the keeping of His law, the shedding of His blood, by His death, resurrection, and ascension. Without all these things, the Holy Spirit has no reason to come. Without the works of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has no gospel to reveal. He doesn't have any blood to apply. He doesn't have any salvation to give. Have you ever really thought much about what our Lord said when He said that where I am, there you will be also? Have you ever given much thought to where Christ is? He's at the right hand of God. That's where He sat down. Do you know what the right hand is to a king? It's the place of love and acceptance. It's a place of honor. You see, the believer died with Him. They were buried with Him. They arose with Him. They're seated with Him in heavenly places. So if you're one of these believers, let not your heart be troubled. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You believe in God, don't you? Oh, do you trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He's the only one who can pay your sin? Oh, may God show you that. You know the way. Christ is the way. This world is a world of sin. It's full of heart trouble, full of sin, trouble, and despair. There's only one way to be healed. You've got to come to the great physician. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. Oh, by God's sovereign mercy and grace, we see that we're dying of heart trouble. We have the dreaded disease of sin, and we have great need. Are you heavy laden and burdened with your sin? Have you spent all on physicians and gotten worse? Then let not your heart be troubled. Come to Christ. Trust in Him. Learn of Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. Friend, salvation is of the Lord. All who come to Him will never be cast out. Come to Christ and let not your heart be troubled.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky. And our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m. Worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m. Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.